That means, so Om Ganat Simrandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Sivirve Namaha. So that means that it's not important what one's background is before one comes to Krishna consciousness, but if one takes up the process of Krishna consciousness, then you can become a Brahmin. So we have some devotees here who are taking second initiation, which is called Brahmin initiation, and some devotees here who are taking first initiation, which is known as Purinam initiation. So we'll explain both these initiations, but first we'll talk about the reason for taking initiation. Well, there's several reasons. I mean, first of all, this material world is a place of ignorance and a place of misery, a place of problems, adiyatma, adibodhik, and adidaivik miseries. And the only way to get out of the material world is to become Krishna conscious. That's one reason. Another reason is that by constitution, we are parts and parcels of Krishna. Mami Vamsa Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. And being parts and parcels of Krishna, the only way we can be happy is by serving Krishna. Because right now we are serving other things other than Krishna. For example, most of us are serving our bodies. These bodies that we have, we are different from the bodies. We are serving them. What result, what payment do we get from these bodies after so much service? We get old age and death. You can imagine serving, working your whole life for some company, and then at the end of life, after you worked 50 years, they kill you. Not very intelligent. It's like, there's one animal, they're called bees. Some of you know what bees are. Madhu. Right? So, bees, they work very hard. They are collecting all the pollen and turning it into honey. But then when the bee can't work anymore, there's no FNP for him. You don't understand? No retirement for the bee. The bee gets kicked out of the hive by the other bees and he's left to die on the ground after a whole life of working. So this is the material energy. We work our whole life. And what do we get? We get old age as a price. As a result. So therefore, that's another reason we want to become Krishna conscious anyway. But the most important reason is that we all have a loving propensity. We all want to love and be loved. And we want to love and be loved unlimitedly. And because we have that propensity, we look for that love and be loved in different ways. We look for it by getting some people, they get pets, you know, animals. Because at least the animal loves them more than their family members. Or, in order to so-called experience love, they may watch some Bollywood films. Because in their own romantic life, they're frustrated. They got married and they thought, oh, this will be like heaven. But it doesn't turn out to be like heaven. It's a service. That's fine. But they want this unlimited love. And you can't have that in this world. That unlimited love can only be had in relationship to Krishna and the pure devotees. So that unlimited loving propensity can best be experienced, and can only be experienced, in relationship to Krishna. So these are different reasons for becoming Krishna conscious. And of course, you go back to Godhead, live eternally with Krishna, get a chance to dance with Krishna, play with Krishna, serve Krishna, take care of Krishna. I mean, that's pretty nice if you think about all these different activities in the spiritual world. I never take birth again in this material world. Puna janma naiti mam eti sojana mamupechyuta kontiya. Isn't it? One who goes back to Krishna, he never has a big birth again. So this is the benefits, many of the benefits we get. So in order to recognize those benefits, one has to work. Spiritual life is not cheap. Just like if one wants to acquire anything in this world, there's only, as far as I know, one way to do it, is you have to work at it. You can't show up at your business or work and just sleep all day. You have to work hard. So there's a hard work that gives you the perfect result of eternal blissful life, and that's called bhakti. So this word bhakti means more than just to serve. It means more than just to love in a material sense. It means, according to the great devotee, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, it means, anyāvivāśita-śūnyam yāna-karma-nāvṛtam anukulyena kṛṣṇāna-śīlanam bhakti-muktamam. That means, in a nutshell, that to have no other focus in life, either gross with the body, or mental, or emotional, subtle, or even the desire for liberation. Anyami lashva shunya, it's void of all these things. Jnana karma navatam. And anukulyena krishnana shilanam bhakti buddhamam. To understand that the goal is to serve Krishna according to what Krishna wants, in a mood of pleasing Krishna, devotion, and also, at the same time, to do it joyfully. You understand? Joyfully, what Krishna wants, in a mood of devotion. So this is pure devotional service. So one has to work out, and the process of bhakti is elaborated also, or spoken about, by the great devotees in the past. And I'm going to explain the process of bhakti. Of course, in this Kali Yuga, the most essential aspect of the process of bhakti is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because, why is it most essential? Because Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashura Nijimukto Vinatvam Namanamina. Because Krishna is there in His holy name. It's not like any other chant or any other song, mundane, whatever. And Krishna is directly there whenever you say the word Krishna or the chant or mantra Krishna. So that's the benefit. But there's a method for chanting purely. Just like we talk about that, it's not a question simply of the amount of chanting you do, quantity. It's the question of the quality in the chanting. So the quality of the chanting has to be done with devotion. And the way you achieve devotion is, first of all, you've got to avoid certain things that contaminate you. Actually, we've been contaminated for many lifetimes. You get contaminated, according to Krishna in the Gita, what is it? Karnam guna sangasya sarasad janma jonishu. You become contaminated by associating with the modes of nature. That's called guna sangha. Just like in Krishna consciousness, we have this satsanga. Satsanga means to associate with great personalities. And guna sangha means to associate with the modes of passion, ignorance, and goodness. And that guna sangha occurs whenever we do something that is not spiritual. It's as simple as that. Of course, the worst mode to associate with is the mode of ignorance. Because it binds one completely to the material world. One becomes even useless materially. And one cultivates the mode of ignorance, if you want to cultivate the mode of ignorance, by intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. The four regulative principles, the four principles that the devotees are vowing to give up. One cultivates the mode of ignorance. And not only do you cultivate the mode of ignorance, which covers you, pollutes your consciousness, covers your eyesight, your mind. Not only do you do that, like cultivating the mode of ignorance, but you also accrue bad karma. You've all heard of karma. Karma means whatever you do, you get a result for it. If you're good, you get a good result. Bad, you get a bad result. So let's say one eats meat. Or let's take a very popular meat here in Fiji. Chicken, murghi. Right? You all love it. So there, actually I'll tell you a funny story. There was one Muslim man who wanted to eat 1,000 chickens. So what he did is he fed one chicken to another, and to another. And by the time that, you know, one chicken ate another, and ate a chicken, ate it. You get it. It was 1,000 chickens ate each other. So when you eat a chicken, your next life, you become a chicken. Just like we were walking on the road this morning, we heard a rooster crying out. And I understood it was probably one of you who ate a rooster in your last life. So he was crying out, "Save me! Take me to the temple." Anyway, so that's the problem with eating meat. Problem with intoxication, like you may love kava. And then guess what? You get to become a tree in your next life. Because when people take this kava, they just sit there. I've seen them. On the road. Sometimes we're taking our japa walk in the morning and people sitting. Ever see that? Sitting on the road. I said, "What are you doing on the road?"
"Oh, I'm happy."
Anyway, so then the trees, they sit by the road. They sit for many, many thousands of years. So that's the result, karmic result of drinking kava. Or illicit sex life. Then you can become a nice pigeon in your next life. And the pigeons have so many girlfriends and boyfriends, they don't get married. So by breaking these regulative principles, you become covered and you get bad karma and you get separated from Krishna. So avoid the regulative principles. At the same time, we should try to avoid activities in the mode of passion. You shouldn't try to eat food that's too hot, too spicy, etc. like that. Don't watch too many rugby games. It's all in the mode of passion. I know you're addicted to it. At least it's not against the regulative principles. You could say that. Why? Watch rugby. It's not. Maharaj said it's not against the regulative principles. It's not, but it will cover your consciousness. Bollywood movies cover your consciousness. You come out, after you've watched the movie, you've seen rugby, why do you wonder why you're so angry? Isn't it? You're like, You're so angry and uncontrolled and unhappy. And unhappy. I remember in the early days of the movement, I would distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, and one of the places I distributed Srila Prabhupada's books was at movie theaters. And so when people were going into the movie theaters, they were so-called happy. They would just say, oh, we're going to see the latest movie, Sri Devi's movie. So, they were going to the movies. And coming out, we could never distribute books to people when they came out of the movie because they were so unhappy and angry. That's the nature of motive passion stuff. And of course, motive goodness helps you with self-realization. So generally, we try to acquire or cultivate the motive goodness. So bhakti means basically the four regular principles. And then as far as chanting the Lord's holy names, because some devotees are taking Harinam initiation, there are certain things to be avoided too, which are called the 10 offenses against chanting. 10 offenses against chanting are very quickly. One, to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. And the reason that's so bad is because the Lord, that's Krishna, in case you haven't figured that out, then Krishna gets angry because he loves his devotees. He says, Sadavo Ridyam Mayam Sadanam Ridyam Twaham Adanyat Tanajanati Mahamdevyu Nagabi. Krishna says the devotees are in my heart. Just like devotees have Krishna in their heart, so Krishna has the devotees in their heart, his heart. And they're like his little children. And because of that, if you offend someone's children, the father gets very angry at you. You can try that sometime. Take a little child and offend the child. Tell the parent, tell the mother, your child is ugly. Try it. Just try it today and see what happens. Alright, everybody's willing to try it? No. Because it's dangerous. I said, what an ugly kid you got. Oh my God. So, if you do that to God's devotees, Krishna gets angrier, and he says, you can't have bhakti. Because you are offending my dear little devotee child. And that's the first event. Second event is a big one that many of you do here. It's called considering the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. I know many people came and they were demigod worshippers before. Demigods are devotees of Krishna. We respect them. No problem. But if you think that they're God or you think that their name is actually spiritual, you're in trouble. Yastu Narayanam Devam, Brahma Rudradi Daivata, Samitvayaneva, Viksheta, Safashandi, Bhavet Rubam. Actually, it says that one thinks that the demigods, Brahma, Rudra, etc., are equal to Lord Vishnu, then he becomes a Vashandi. Vashandi means basically atheist. So you've got to be very careful about that. We respect the demigods, they're servants of Krishna, we love them, but they're servants of Krishna. That's all. Very simple. So, next is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Spiritual master is representing Krishna, is like the ambassador of a country. Like if you offend an ambassador or don't listen to the ambassador, let's say you're applying for a visa. Some devotees, the other day, one devotee was applying for a visa to America. They went to the American embassy. And I said, you have to be very nice to the people there. Because if you don't listen to their instructions, they don't have to give you a visa. So if you disobey the order of the spiritual master, who is the ambassador of Krishna, the transparent via media, he doesn't have to give you a visa to the spiritual world. He gives you a visa to stay here in the material world. So, and the next offense is blaspheme the Vedic literatures. There are other literatures which are in accordance with the Vedic literatures. Because all the Vedic literatures, all the religious literatures of the world that are meant for glorifying God should be accepted. Some of the literatures are for people on a lesser platform, some of the literatures are for people on a higher platform, but still they should all be accepted. And so the next offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. They're not. Krishna's there. Next offense after that is to give some perverted, speculative interpretation of the holy names of the Lord. There are bona fide meanings of the holy name of the Lord. For example, the word Krishna can be analyzed as follows. The word Krish comes from the Sanskrit karshati, which means to attract, like a tractor, you know, pull something. So to attract, Krishna attracts us. And na means ananda. Ananda means happiness, bliss, ecstasy. So Krishna attracts you and gives you ecstasy. So we should think about that when we chant the word Krishna. So Krishna is the most attractive. Also, na means it gets rid of all your miseries in the material world. So that those offenses should be avoided of speculating, but you can have real understanding of the meaning of the holy name of the Lord. And then the next offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. That means you chant one round of Hare Krishna between each bowl of kava. You understand? That's not good. And thinking, it's all right, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, get rid of all the sinful activities. And actually I can chant Hare Krishna better when I drink kava, because I'm more relaxed, I can focus more on the holy names, I sit in one position. That's an offense on chanting. So of course, we do understand by chanting the Lord's holy names that all the karma becomes wiped out and everything like that, but one has to stop. That's the point. And next offense is to consider chanting Hare Krishna like any other ritual, like what we call karma kanja rituals. It means for material uplifting. Like many of you have karma kanja rituals that you do. Let's say, you know, someone passed away in your family, then you drink kava for 7 days, right? Spend $3,000 in kava. That's not a karma kanda ritual. That's a speculative ritual. It's never mentioned in any religious scripture of the world. It's stupid. So karma kanda rituals are good sometimes because, like, you're performing pindam, for example. That's bona fide. But the chanting of Hare Krishna can never be equated with any of those rituals. That's the point. It's not a karma kanda ritual. And ninth offense is to preach the glories of the Lord to those who are faithless, will misuse the information, or offend the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. And finally, the tenth offense is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. So the point is one has to gradually be getting rid of their material attachments. We understand you're not going to be rid of your material attachments in 2 or 3 days. It takes a whole lifetime. It may take several lifetimes. That's all right. As long as you're making gradual progress in this regard. You do not criticize someone for having material attachments. The problem is when they don't try to get rid of it. It just causes misery. And you approach Krishna with material attachments, it's like that lady who was crying out to Krishna. She was in the forest. She was carrying firewood on her head. She dropped the firewood. And she prayed to Krishna. Krishna appeared and said, "My dear devotee, what do you want?" And she said, "Put the firewood back on my head." That's what it means to maintain material attachments. And in order to avoid these offenses, one has to be attentive. Sometimes that's listed as the 11th offense, but actually It's the offense that actually covers all 10 offenses. Inattentive chanting. I mean, it's chanting and thinking about what you're going to eat this morning, chanting and thinking about money, chanting and thinking about anything else other than Krishna and his holy name and his devotees and his pastimes and his service. So those are the 10 offenses. And then chanting the holy name of the Lord. With quality means to study Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers known as the Shikshakshika prayers, the 8 prayers. And if you study these 8 prayers and enter into the mood, and also read Rupa Goswami's Nectar Devotion, other literatures about the holy name, Harinam Chintamani, there's other literatures that have been translated by our devotees and by Srila Prabhupada, then you will understand how to chant in quality with your heart, with emotion. Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Buddha Kripaya Tava Parapankaja Stita Duli Sadrusham Vajintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. But somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean, horrible ocean of birth and death. Please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So anyway, so that's chanting, and some of the, so that's first initiation, and devotees who are taking first initiation are promising to chant 16 rounds a day and follow the 4 regulated principles and gradually advance in devotional service and offer all their food to Krishna. And patram pushpam palam toyam yumivanta priyachati. And in this way, they will gradually advance. And those devotees who are taking second initiation is known as Brahman initiation, Brahma Diksha. They're expected to be like Krishna priests. Brahmins. Brahmins means like a priest. It means representatives of the movement. They're also expected to regularly do deity worship. Here at the Radha Goloka Vihari Temple, if you happen to live here, Radhapur, even in Nasauri, you can come. There's no problem. There's many buses, many taxis. No problem. We're going to Missouri all the time. It's not a big deal. So you can regularly come and do some deity worship. What's the problem? One day a week to come and do some deity worship. So that's Brahman. So Brahman, of course, has different qualities that make you a Brahman. Today you're getting the opportunity to become Brahmins, but you actually become Brahmins by manifesting certain qualities. And those qualities are listed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. What are those qualities? Samadhamma dipaksha chantam shantirarvam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahmakarma svabhavacha. Very easy. What does that mean? That a Brahman has to be sama, equal poise. What does it mean, equal poise? That happiness and distress, or if someone praises you or insults you or yells at you, you just have to say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. You can't punch them back. That's not a Brahman. Actually, even in the Christian literature, there's Lord Jesus Christ said, if someone hits you on one cheek, what do? You turn the other cheek. You don't hit it back. But your philosophy here is if someone hits you or yells at you, you punch it. That's not a philosophy. That's not a Brahman. That's a rugby player. So, of course, if you're a rugby player, that's okay. But not at home. Not with your family. Not with your friends. Not with other devotees. Not with anybody. Except for if you're playing a game. So anyway, so Brahman means equal poise. Oh, he's Shanti. Basically Shanti. Being peaceful. Isn't it? Sama, Dhamma. And Dhamma means have controlled senses. You have Manashashtani Indriyani. You have 6 senses, material senses. That means the normal perceptive senses we're talking about, you know, like the tongue, nose and the eyes and the sense of touch, etc. And the ears. I forgot about the desires, and you also have the mind. So you have to be self-controlled. What does that mean, self-control? That if you see something that the mind and the tongue and the nose and the eyes want to eat, and you know it's not good for you, or against the regular principle, don't do it. Just say no. Very easy. Just say no. Krishna would not be pleased. My spiritual master would not be pleased. I'm not going to do it. That's Dhamma. And the next one is Samadhamma Tapapa, is austerity. Austerity means accepting what pleases Krishna and rejecting what displeases Krishna. It doesn't mean to be austere in a material sense. That's not required. Actually, in this Kali Yuga, physical austerity really is not required. Sometimes devotees really get into physical austerity that has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, or used to be in a previous yuga connected with Krishna consciousness, like they'll fast for 3 days. I was just talking to a devotee. He not only fasts on Ekadasi, he fasts on Triodasi, he fasts on Dwadasi. Oh my God. Just chant Hare Krishna. And your best austerity you can do is give others Krishna. You really want to be austere? You really want to please Krishna? Forget about all the fasting. Go out and bring people to Krishna consciousness. That's the best thing you can do. Krishna says that. He says, in the Gita, he says, one who teaches this message of Bhagavad Gita to the devotees is the most dear, and there will never be one more dear than he who teaches this message. So that's the secret. That's the austerity. And also, yes, tasmat sankirtanam Vishnu Jangamangalam Angasam Mahatamabhi Kauravya Vidyakantaka Nishkitam. That there's no greater atonement, austerity than this Sankirtan. You understand? Sankirtan means congregational chanting, bringing others to Krishna. That's our austerity. Samadhamatta Bhakshocha and cleanliness. Cleanliness means a Brahmin has to be exemplary, or as a good example, very clean, bathing regularly several times a day, also clean at heart, yakshmaret pundarikaksham savaya vyantara shuchi shivishnu, by always remembering Krishna and your service to Krishna. So this is a formidable quality. So, and then and the other qualities are tolerance. And that's pretty similar to sama, being equal poise of happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, summer and winter seasons, etc. Honest, religious. One has to be honest. Yeah, that's a very important point. No cheating, no lying, no excuses. A Brahmin should not cheat, should tell the truth all the time. Of course, if telling the truth is offensive sometimes, you just don't say anything, but you never lie. Never lie. Brahmin never lies. It's the worst possible thing. Because if you think you can get by with lying to some people and not lying to other people, you get in the habit, and then you'll be overcome by the mode of ignorance. Devotees should always be truthful. And then, in order to accomplish that, jnana, we have to regularly hear about Krishna from Krishna's pure devotees, such as Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, the founder and acharya of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and Srila Prabhupada is everybody's ultimate Siksha Guru. A Siksha Guru means a guru who gives instruction, a guru who sets the example for everybody. What does it mean, founder acharya? That means he started the movement and he sets the example. The priorities, that means what's important, what's not important, what's less important, what's more important. He sets all these different levels for everybody in the movement. And Srila Prabhupada should remain at the center. So one reads Srila Prabhupada's books, and Srila Prabhupada's books contain the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very, very important. So, and then you practice what's in the books, jnana-vijnana, and then religious. And these Brahma, Karma, Samadhi. So these are the qualities of a Brahman. So this is what is being expected of all of you taking second initiation. Simply getting a thread doesn't make you a Brahman. Simply getting a mantra does not make you a Brahman. The actual definition of the word Brahman is one who knows Brahman. And Brahman, the supreme Brahman, is Krishna. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabhyate. That means Krishna is the supreme Brahman. So, one who knows Brahman is a real Brahman. And the only way you're going to know Brahman is to follow the Brahminical qualities, chant regularly, have good association, and serve in this Krishna consciousness movement. So this is the Brahman initiation. So that pretty much summarizes both types of initiation. So do we have time to give the names before reading the deities? I think we do. So we give the names and then we'll have the heaven after we give the names to the devotees and give the Brahman threads to the devotees. So we'll try to do this quickly. So everyone should come up as I call the names. Actually, everyone who is taking first initiation, actually second initiation, everyone should just one by one go to Prabhupada, offer obeisances to the deities, even though he's close, and then offer obeisances to me. And the first initiate should come first. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so the first one for first initiation is Nirmala. So quickly, everyone should come. The first initiates do offer their obeisances first. First one to come up should be Nirmala. Nirmala. Okay. And she's the mother of Lord Nityananda. Right? There's Lord Nityananda sitting on a seat back there. Okay, so English, you all right with English or no? Hindi? English, okay. What are the four regulated principles? Yeah, that's good. And how many rounds every day? 16 rounds every day, minimum. So your name, now you get the beads with your right hand, is Nirakula, which means someone who is never confused. Nirakula. Nirakula Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Okay. Oh, thank you. So next. Whoops. Let's see, what do we have next? Okay. Next we also have, let's say, whose beads are these? Uh-oh. Oh, this is Sunita's beads? Okay. Okay, next is Sunita. Haribol. So you can offer obeisances. Hare Krishna. So, what are the four regulative principles? Okay, no gambling. And how many rounds every day? 16 rounds. Okay, you get the beads with your right hand. I want to give you your name at the same time. I always write it out. You give the beads with your right hand, and your name is Shakti Mati Devi Dasi. Shakti Mati Devi Dasi Ki Jai. And that's, of course, the name of Srimati Radharani. Because she is the Adi Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What? Oh, she looks too young to be your mother. How could she be your mother? She's too young. How old is she? Oh, yeah, she looks like a young girl. Okay, I think these are your neck beads too. Haribo, oh, and your beads. Okay, next is, Manisha Swami Reddy. You don't look like Manisha. She's married to Rohini Sutta. Rohini Sutta baby. let's see. What are the four regular principles? All right. And how many rounds every day? Rounds on the Kadashi. All right. So let me give you your beads. So your name now, these were the right hands. Your name now is Madanalasa Devi Dasi. Madanalasa Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Madanalasa is the name of one of the Priya Sakis of Srimati Radharani. Madanalasa Devi Dasi. And when do I give your kid the name? Now? Well, you gotta wait. Yeah, they should do it. Alright, no, let's do Krishna Kripa. Okay. Krishna Kripa. Okay, what are the four regulative principles?
No gambling, no meditation, no intoxication, and no illicit sex.
Very good. And how many rounds every day? 60 rounds every day. You have a nice father. you get the name, you get the beads with your right hand. And Krishna Kripa asked that I didn't change his name, so. But I added something to his name. So you get, take the beads with your right hand. Your name now is Hare Krishna Kripa. Hare Krishna Kripa Ki Jai. Because Krishna Kripa means the mercy of Krishna. So Hare Krishna, the mercy of Hare Krishna. This is Radharani, you got Radharani added to your name. Because Radharani is Hare, which is the evocative form. Svakata means calling out for Radharani. And then just, Rohini Sutta, bring up the little baby. who ask if the baby is chanting his rounds every day. So, there was a kundalini done, so I based this on the kundalini. So, what are the four regulating principles that he follows? Obviously, I've never seen a baby. Well, sometimes in the material world, the babies break the regulating principles. That's the parents' fault. So, your name now is actually a name mean compassion. Daya. Daya means compassion. Jai. Daya ki jai. Okay. What? Blessing. Blessing it was. Okay. That's a nice name. What? Oh, the Brahmin threads, yeah. Let the Brahmins come up. Or the aspiring Brahmins. You gotta take your cloth off so you get the Brahmin threads. Okay, put your right hand through this. Right hand. And put your left head. I know that's a joke. Put your head through that. Okay, now you wear the Brahmin thread. Okay. Actually, if we were initiating someone like Lord Brahma, who had four heads, we'd have to tell him, put all your heads through. All right, right hand. Nope, thank you. And one more. Another Brahma. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right, you already had it. Okay, Haribo, Brahman. So the Brahman should be doing deity worship here in the Radhika Loka Vihari temple. That's the purpose. Right hand. Right hand. Okay. Very nice. Thank you. Okay. Everybody can be seated. Yeah, Dasha. Where's the Pujari? And anybody who doesn't have any of the initiates, like Hare Krishna group, but doesn't have a garland, come and get one of these garlands, these malas. Because all the initiates should be wearing malas. I think, does everyone have one now? Now.